Hi, everyone, and welcome to Author's Corner. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can go to my website, Tolter.net, for more information. Twitter, Tolter, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Tolter, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google Plus, Neil Haley, and also on Periscope, at Total Tutor. And it's been a very, very busy week. Television on Friday, 4 hours, I tell you, of unbelievable guests. I can't wait. But it continues to roll with a very, very interesting one. Anyone when I have a successful entrepreneur on, it's like E.F. Hutton. I have to listen when E.F. Hutton speaks. So I'm excited to welcome the program with Rich Dad, advisor, and founder, Darren Weeks of the Fast Track. Darren, thanks for calling, and how are you?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks for the opportunity. Appreciate having a chance to talk to you.
Absolutely. Let's chit-chat and figure out how you started out in business. It's kind of like I like always talk to, like, even celebrities or different people. When did you get your heart into being an entrepreneur? Did it start early in your life, or how did that start?
You know, it did. I remember specifically it was 6 years old, and I helped one of my relatives move. And now I obviously didn't do very much. I was only 6 years old, but he paid me with 3 shiny quarters. And ever since I was 6, I wanted to be rich. So ever since then, I just did really unique things to, you know, deal with money, whether it was buying mutual funds in grade 6 or silver bars in high school or buying my first property in university. So I'm not sure why, but when I was 6 years old, I knew I wanted to be rich.
Okay, so and you probably didn't go through tons of schooling, especially if you're a rich dad advisor with Robert Kiyosaki. Probably at one point in time, you said, okay, I got to go out there and make money, right? I'm sure you got educated to a point and then said, it's time now to get to the real world and try to make money, right?
Well, that's the challenge. I didn't have that so-called rich dad in my life. My parents said, go to school, get good grades. So I actually did go to university. And it's funny that I wrote a book, but I failed English and I failed many courses. But I do have a business degree. And I realized, like, once I got that degree, I said, all this really does is tell you you should get a job. It didn't teach me how to be an entrepreneur. So when I finally read Rich Dad, Poor Dad in 2001, I think I owned about a dozen properties. You know, I wasn't rich or anything like that, but I tried a lot of different things. But I finally then put the pieces together and realized if you want to, you know, be successful, you've got to study and, you know, have mentors in your life. So that was really a game changer when I read that book and met Robert.
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting when you talk about, Darren, the fact about surrounding yourself with the right people. I had a mentor that I worked with. I was an employee, but also kind of like he was my client. And I learned so much specifically how to be an entrepreneur. As an educator, we don't learn entrepreneurship, that's for sure. So I constantly am trying to learn from people and constantly try and improve myself. Because the difference is when you're working for yourself, Darren, you constantly have to reach the highest standard, because or else you're not going to make the money you want and continue to make the money you're currently making. Isn't that correct, Darren?
It's absolutely correct. But, you know, again, when you grow up, you don't have any of that belief system. Nobody teaches you that because you don't have a rich dad. So I didn't know that until I was obviously in my 30s. So unfortunately, you know, for people listening, they're fortunate to listen to this advice. But when I was younger, I didn't have anybody in my life who influenced me positively on why I should be an entrepreneur. Again, everybody said, just go get a safe, secure job. And that's not what I wanted to ever do.
Exactly. And then there's certain people that have that mindset. So let's talk about when you first started out. You said you owned a few properties. Darren, were you working for somebody else when you first owned a few properties? What were you doing as a – I'm sure you worked for somebody while you were building some of your real estate stuff, correct?
Yeah. Well, I bought my first property in university as a student. And I remember going back to school with pro forma and showing it to my classmates, and nobody cared. They didn't pay any attention. That was my last year of university. So I was really shocked that I'm in business, but nobody cares about business, you know, dealings. And then over the next 10 years, again, I didn't buy a lot of properties, about a dozen, and I had part-time jobs and I had part-time businesses. And when I finally read Rich Dad, Poor Dad in 2001, then I quit my job and started a business educating Canadians specifically and meeting Robert, and my life has changed dramatically. And I don't say this to brag about it, but now I own parts of 5,000 properties, all because of, you know, your network, your mentorship, and wanting to learn about money and real estate investing.
So your big thing really is from there is you started early with real estate. You put pretty much, it probably when you started, you didn't understand specifically how to own real estate and how to invest. You basically just took all the chances yourself, it sounds like, right?
Totally. And in Canada, we didn't have very many educational resources. In the United States, you get to have a lot more. And again, you know, now there's a lot more education. So I just took a risk and just did it, figured out it along the way. And, you know, what I really learned was no matter what you do, whether it's a business, and everybody's got a business idea they'd want to get off the ground, or buying real estate, you're going to run out of money. So that's the big thing I got from Robert Kiyosaki, was it raise capital. You're going to be limited to, you know, 10 or 12 properties, probably a very small business, because, you know, these things take cash. So that was my aha moment after meeting Robert, was how do you raise capital so you never have to say no to a deal?
Yeah, I love that part, and that's definitely leading into your book, but I'm just kind of leading you to those questions, because always when you talk to successful people, you want to know how they started, because a lot of times, unless you have a rich dad, right, like you're saying, Dan, that is willing to fund you all the money, you pretty much tell you how to do it, and you take over, that's the only way. It's learning from that experience. So when you learn from Robert Kiyosaki, is to raise capital before doing it. You see a lot of people who go ahead and into real estate, tons of money, and that don't raise capital, and literally if one real estate deal fails, the business is on its head and could be done, right?
Yes, absolutely. And you know what, the banks, you know, when I was younger, I always thought, oh, if you have a good idea or properties, the banks will fund you, and that's just not true. I mean, they're in business to make a ton of money, and you know, the banks aren't your friends. So what I'm really teaching is just be your own bank. But yeah, when I first started, it was just my guts I had in me to say I wanted to be rich. I didn't know how to do it, but I also knew that rich people own real estate businesses. But when mentorship became part of my life and wanting to study, because I hated university, I hated it. After that, I didn't want to even read a book. But once I understood I could start to study subjects like money and investing that I liked, then it was just much, much easier to start to get ahead.
And I love the fact you talk about educating yourself. You first learned from Robert Kiyosaki, reading his book, and said, holy cow, I got to do this. And this is the thing that a lot of people don't know. You know, they hear some of Robert Kiyosaki's, you know, ideas, but yet now it is about making money. What is a good way of doing it? And so how do you raise capital? Now, that's an interesting thing. Get investors involved in real estate. That's got to be so you're looking at bigger type deals then. And that's how kinds of guys like Donald Trump were successful and Robert Kiyosaki was successful. And I'm sure, Darren, you look at also as Donald Trump is another type of a mentor reading some of his stuff too, right? I'm sure. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, him and Robert authored a few books together, so obviously I'm very well, you know, I keep up to date on what he's doing and whatnot. He's, you know, instead of raising millions, he's raised billions. It's just, it's the next level, right?
Exactly. So tell us how we raise capital, and that's, again, your book that is for release now, The Art of Raising Capital for Entrepreneurs and Investors. And see, this is completely new to me, Darren. I always say if I continue to have success in my business, I'm going to be smart enough to get involved in other things, dabbling in real estate, dabbling in other things once I have certain capital to start that process. But what you're saying is you can raise that capital without, you know, waiting on your income growth to dabble into real estate. So explain that to us.
Well, exactly. You know, again, every business owner that you ask, could you use an extra $1 million to grow your business? Of course, the answer is yes. Statistically, only 4 out of 100 businesses ever reach sales of $1 million or more. And that's just sales. That's not how much they make. That's just sales. When it comes to real estate, most people I come across, they only own 4 or 5 properties, if any. And the reason they don't own any more is, again, they've run out of money. So I started years ago raising money from teachers. Then I went to dentist conventions. And eventually I started a company that was raising capital over $5 million every single month. So we raised hundreds of millions of dollars. And the book really just gives people lessons from the very beginning, just like my first property, how you start, you know, what do you say to people, what kind of card should you have, what kind of presentation should you give to people, and how to raise money, the psychology behind it. And it goes from how to start or how to make a business, like I just also, it's from the very beginning, very complex. And I think it can solve the problems that entrepreneurs have is always running out of money.
Definitely. And so that's so fascinating. But I mean, I never heard of this. Darren, I you hear these, you know, flipping house guys, and I've interviewed, I think, Montalongo. Armando Montalongo was a big, you know, flip guy from San Antonio. He was on one of A&E's house, flip that house, whatever, and different people. But thinking of something like this is different. Now, how do you go out and raise it? Because so you're looking at people who are investors and see this is a great property. You couldn't buy it outright yourself, Darren. So how do you find that right property and then go after the investors?
You know what? There's billions and billions and billions of dollars looking for good returns. And if you look at the returns historically, in the stock market, which is where most people have the vast majority of the money, they're not very happy with it. You know, people have invested in mutual funds. They're not happy. So if I met you for the very first time and I said, hey, you know what, I'm a professional real estate investor, and on occasion I'll have opportunities that will pay you an above average return, you know, would you be interested? So it starts the conversation. I'm not saying they're going to invest with you the next day. That's probably rare, but it's going to take some time to build a relationship. You know, send them a newsletter once in a while to show them what you're doing. And if you sat down with somebody and said, listen, you know, this is what I'm doing. I'm either buying real estate or, for instance, starting a small business in your community. Would you be interested in funding some of that so I can employ people in our city, keep the money local, and give you a better return than the bank would give you? Would you be interested at least sitting down for half an hour and maybe walking through how this may look if you're interested? And what I find is people always say, you know what, that sounds great. I'd rather support an entrepreneur that I get to know. I get his cell number. I actually talk to him once in a while, and it helps people in my own backyard. I'd rather keep money kind of in Main Street than send it all to Wall Street. And that's all it really is just asking people to invest with you, and you'd be surprised how many people want to do it, assuming you can show them a good business plan.
And that's interesting. So what kind of rate of return would you get? So let's say, you know, I'm tired of investing in mutual funds, Darren, pouring that money in. What kind of money would you ask an individual investor, a small investor, to get involved in this? You only look at the bigger investors, or do you try to put together? How does that work? And I'm sure the book will tell you, but I'm just interested. I've never heard of this in my life. It's interesting.
Sure.
You know, you hear about investing in real estate. Somebody,
I mean, $10,000 is where I would start. The business I created raising capital when I raised $5 million a month, the reason I started it was if you want to buy an apartment building, you need $5 million. Well, what I did was I aggregated 500 people together with $10,000 each. So everybody only needed a little bit of money to own a big – and when it comes to returns, here's one of the secrets I'll share with you. Unfortunately, a lot of people tell their investors, I'm going to give you 10 or 15%. What I would suggest is don't tell them anything until you sit down with them, ask them some questions on what they're getting, what kind of returns they historically have gotten, what kind of returns they'd want. Because a lot of times you'll sit down with people these days and they've lost money or they've got a 3% or 4% return. So when I ask them what kind of returns they're happy with, if they tell me 6%, then I'll say, you know what, I think I could help you with 6%. Let's sit down. I'll show you how I could do that with this particular piece of property or this business. So I would never tell somebody ahead of time what I'm going to pay them. I always ask them what they want and just give the customer what they want, assuming it fits into the business plan.
Wow, yeah, very interesting. That's a definite different type of situation. But you're right. Like, I'm on mutual funds. I'm like, they flatline sometimes. You're saying in real estate, Darren, that's not going to be a flatline. So let's just say you took this method, Darren, and said you're investing in the real estate world. Okay, you're investing properties to start, and you're getting a rate of return. That's building capital for you to even invest more. Correct. So
right.
It's not like you're continuing to pour money back in. To something that it sounds like, instead of, you know, well, I'm just going to keep it sit here for 30 years in this mutual fund. And when I retire, I'm going to get my nest egg, which will be $1 million just to live on. You know that they have these.
Yeah.
We all know that the stock market's not shown that in a long time, Darren. You know, so
it hasn't.
Unless we retire at the right time, we might not get anything back from all that money we just have sitting in the stock market.
Absolutely. And that's the biggest thing, I think. If you want people to invest with you, what you have to do, and I think this is what we've done very effectively, myself and my company, you have to educate people. So first of all, you have to expand on what you just said and show people, here's historically what you would get in mutual funds. And by the way, when the market crashes and it loses 30%, guess what? The mutual fund companies still take fees, even when they lose your money. So it kind of wakes the person up, and they start to get a little bit angry when they see really where their money is headed. Then I would say, after, you know, again, educating them, I'd say, here's how the deal is going to work with me. If I ever lose any of your money, obviously I'm not going to make any profit. The only way that I win is if you win first. And that one principle alone has most people say this, because they're sick and tired of watching bank profits hit records and their portfolio going the other way. So if you can show somebody how to get decent return, and only I will get paid if you get paid first, love the concept. And that's why so much money is poured into, you know, the different companies that I've created.
That's just amazing, and it's something I never knew. And it's something that you're talking to a wannabe entrepreneur, but a green entrepreneur, and same type of thing. You heard about this. So when you first did this, so it's reading Robert's books that you started to come up with the same plan, that sounds like.
Oh, totally. Right. And again, I read his book in 2001. I didn't really start raising millions of dollars until about 2007. So, you know, it still took me, even though I knew his concept, it still takes you time to learn and hang around guys. One of my mentors is Ken McElroy, a Rich Dad Advisor. So he owned a few thousand properties at the time. I owned 12. So again, by hanging out with him, I started to learn a great deal and started to be able to raise capital for some of his projects. So it's all your network and who you know. And again, if you don't hang out with people that have done it or that think bigger than you, it's really hard to get ahead. So I would suggest to people listening, if you have one house, start hanging out with people that have 10 or 20, and you're going to definitely grow just because of your associations with people.
So you surround yourself with the right people, as the saying, and surround yourself with people that are more brilliant than you, business mind, and are growing. You might have those people as your clients that are not as growing as you are, but when it comes to the people that your advisors stay in touch with, pick up the phone and call, they got to be the ones that are really doing something and reading and educating yourself through things like this book, for sure. And so let's just say right now, I'm tired of this mutual fund thing, okay? And my wife and her, they got rid of her guaranteed pension and a Catholic school teaching. Now we're pouring money into it's not making anything. I'd love to pull that money out and invest in someone like you, Darren, and then say, okay, let's see this roll. So just give me a number. Let's just say you invest in a property. How many years does that property investment go? How long do you hold on to a property like that so that then you get your money back and it's like, hey, I got another deal. And here's your profit you made off of this, and now let's get started on something else and that you can make more money. Explain that to me.
Okay, great question. So first of all, I believe in buy and hold. The very first property I ever bought in 1990, I still own it. I do not sell properties. I don't flip houses and whatnot. I want cash flow. So I buy and hold. And this is what I would say to you if you're interested. We would sit down. Again, we'd have a 45-minute to an hour meeting. I find out what you need and then try to give you the returns or the cash flow that you need. And then what I would suggest is in, you know, 5 or 6 years, according to the business plan, I'm going to renovate this house. We're going to get better rent in it. The value should grow 2 or 3% a year. So within 5 or 6 years, we can refinance. And when we refinance, every penny that I get on the refinance, I give you back your original investment. However, you still own the house with me. So from then on, you've got all your money back. You really have no more risk in the game at all. You've got your money back, but you still own that property forever. So it's called an infinite return. Again, something that, you know, the banks never teach you. So I would suggest that if we're going to do this together, it's a long-term investment. You need cash flow when you retire, so that's why we're going to own this house 10, 20, 30 years or until we both decide we should split. But I don't believe in short-term investments. I want to get you all your money back. You've got no risk in the game. And guess what? When I give you that check for the original $10,000, guess what you're probably going to do with it?
What are we going to do with it?
You're going to give it right back to me and say, hey, please do that again. So it gets easier and easier. Time is your friend.
And then you get more and more, and then you teach people, because you're an advisor and all this stuff with Rich Dad, teach people to do it themselves. You might start first by just seeing how this works by working with someone like you, but then at one point in time you raise your own capital and you teach people how to do that as well down the line.
Correct. You know, a couple of years ago, I kind of thought, you know, what do I want to do? I don't raise money in Canada like I used to. There's so many rules and regulations that I want to make sure everybody understands this. You have to talk to the proper securities lawyers to make sure they're doing this properly, whether it's a business or real estate. And I just wanted to kind of have another passion in my life. So I started teaching people entrepreneurship, and Robert asked me to be an advisor, you know, basically as an entrepreneur on his team. And I do teach people the concepts of raising money, but you're not going to be able to raise anybody's money unless you're really, truly a good entrepreneur first. So all the typical successful attributes that the real estate moguls have or Robert and Donald Trump have, you need to have those before anybody's going to invest with you. So I teach people how to be an entrepreneur, and I guess a specialization is how to raise capital to grow your business or real estate.
And so that's how Robert did it, and that's how Donald Trump does it, and that's how – And so here's why are these people out there? It's great you brought up the flipping house thing. Why are these people out there, you know, to get rich quick, we'll flip a house, you'll make X amount of dollars. Why does that work long term, that there's a lot of more risk than what you're talking about?
Well, first of all, taxes. You know, if you start flipping houses, I mean, at least you can do the 1031 exchange, you can do that, but there's tax consequences immediately. Whereas if you buy and hold, you don't have to pay taxes, like literally for decades if you structure it properly. Also, again, we all need cash flow. Like, why do I want to go through the trouble finding a really, really good asset and then selling it? It's hard to find good assets. So I'm just of the belief that, you know, you buy a good asset, you hold on to it, and it's all about cash flow. Flipping houses, in my opinion, is a little bit dangerous. You could buy something hoping the market goes up or hoping that the renovations don't cost you more than you anticipated. And in that six-month period, what if things go down? Whereas with, you know, our concept, the Rich Dad philosophy is you buy that has something that has positive cash flow, and typically when a market corrects, you know, your rents don't go down. I didn't see tremendous rent decreases even in 2008 and 9. So buy for cash flow, buy and hold. And really what we're getting at is we want debt. So the more debt we have, somebody else pays that debt off by paying me rent every month. That's where you also get very, very rich, is having debt.
Okay. And I guess let's say I went ahead and invested in the property with you. You gave me my rate of return back based on refining 6 years later. You sell the house 30 years down the road. What kind of money have you been able, investments for people, to they get the final payout on this, on one house? Because
I'm not trying to not answer your question, but again, if I sit down with somebody and they say, Darren, I'd be thrilled with an 8% return over the long run, then I've structured the deal to give them 8% return over the long run. If they said I want 13%, I'd say, well, you know, the business plan, you know, doesn't allow for that, so then you're not my customer. So I try to give them what they want. Also, if you're investing with me and you're 35 years old, you don't need any money until you're 55, then we can structure the deal so that you get a balloon payment. So it really goes back to that individual's needs. But basically, you know, to generally answer your question, it shouldn't be too difficult to get somebody a 10% return. And when I ask investors, what kind of a return would you be happy with over the long run? I remember doing this at dentist conventions years ago. Never, ever, ever once did anybody ever say higher than 10. Never. And the reason is because they're not getting it anywhere else. And if they are, you can congratulate them and say, okay, keep doing what you're doing. This probably isn't a fit for you and I. Because, again, we have to also profit from this. And if you give away too much, there may not be enough unit for everybody. But no more than 10%, because nobody ever expects that.
Interesting. And then probably a lot of people that you work with, you just brought up $2,000. A lot of people are investing more than $2,000. And then they're and are they doing it as one lump sum or sometimes payments, like how you invest in the stock market? Or is it pretty much one investment there? That's how you do it per house, per investment properties or something.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Obviously, the more money they have, the better. So when I first went to teacher conventions, it was pretty interesting because I'm meeting teachers who have never met me before. They're at a trade show with their teachers association. They walk by my booth. I had a very crude, you know, simple little real estate booth, and I try to talk to people and get them interested. So my ideal customer would be somebody who had, say, $30,000 for a down payment. And here's the good news also. They have to qualify for the mortgage, not me. And what I do on my behalf is I find big properties in undervalued markets. I manage them very, very well, and I get them a good return. So it's their job to come up with a down payment and also to go to the bank to get the mortgage. Now, after I did teacher conventions, I then realized, okay, dentists make a lot more money. Now, the dentists, they could buy four properties at once. So I had one investor with me buy four properties in a place called Fort McMurray, and this was like for $50,000 a unit. Today, they're worth probably $500,000. This is in the 90s. And it really resonated with me that, wow, I might as well go after the people that have more money because it's a lot simpler. But when you start, you're going to start with maybe adding five people together at $5,000 each to buy into a property with you. So you do what it takes. You know, the smaller the amounts, the more work it is for you. The bigger the amounts, the easier it is. But I don't think anybody's going to start raising capital and have one guy write you a check for $1 million the first month you're in this. So you have to be realistic and realize this is a process. And it's going to take 12 to 18 months before you start to really see results. And unfortunately, what most people do before that is they quit because they're not a millionaire yet. So just go through the process, you know, read the book, study, do the suggestions. But it does take time. And people are not going to invest with you overnight. They're going to watch you. They're going to watch your actions. They're going to ask you questions. They're going to wait for the next deal to see if you did everything you said you were going to do. And it's just a process, and you've got to be patient with it.
So, like, hearing you and saying, wow, I think investing in real estate is a pretty good idea, but then I want to be like you, Darren, then it's going through the reading your book, first of all. Second thing you need to do is specifically get more and more training to learn about how you did this and that process. So do you hold workshops or webinars? How does that work for you, Darren? Like after
we do some
the book
of that. Book is enough to get you started. And, you know, I think just additional education is going to get you over that hump a lot quicker. So So again, I'm not really necessarily doing those types of seminars. I'm not on this line to try to sell a seminar. I mean, the book's a good start, but, you know, do more education, hang out with more people that have done things before. And again, just start. Like, even if you just buy your first house in the next year, if that's your goal, and you buy your first one, like, that's a huge accomplishment. Then it just gets easier, but you've got to start. And that's what I would suggest to people is, like, start. Like, for instance, create, you know, get a logo, create a company name, and build a website and tell people what you're doing. And the minute you tell people that you're a professional real estate investor, then guess what? You have to live up to that. But most people don't even get that far. So just start with the small steps and just build on it. And it's really not that hard. There's so much money out there looking for good returns. So much. There's way more money than there are deals. There's so much money. It is unbelievable. I just think differently. I don't walk by any deal now and think I can't do it because I know the money is available if it's a good opportunity for the investor.
And so, Darren, how did you survive with the real estate bubble? Basically unloading the piece before that happened, how did you survive in that time with now how it's
gone
back again?
That's what made me very, very wealthy was that's when I bought. So I bought 5,000 apartment units in Texas and Arizona between 2008 and 11. Now, most of my holdings prior to that were in Canada. Like I mentioned earlier, it's very rare that your rents decrease much, even in a recession. So all my properties I owned, they were positive cash flow. So let's say the value even went down in half. It didn't matter to me. My rents didn't go down. So I still cash flow. And that's the beauty. If you buy and hold, you buy at the right time with good cash flow, even if property prices go down, again, your typically does not. So I actually loaded up at that time. Again, I live in Canada, so I bought U.S. properties, and I bought it with a dollar that was almost a U.S. dollar. And today, I actually, every time I get a U.S. dollar, I get an extra 30% because our Canadian dollar crashed so badly. So I'm not saying I was a genius. I could see this coming, but I'm very happy right now, and I'm very happy, and I can't wait for the next crash.
Jeez. So again, another myth before we end the interview, Darren, that biggest myth that people just don't understand, this is an interesting one. The myth is when the real estate bubble crashes, real estate investors lose money.
Yeah, not at all.
Maybe if you're flipping houses in that time, or maybe if you bought a house and used it as your investment and you paid too much for it, that's when you lose your butt. But when you're investing, so this is the last thing, and this is again me being a newbie, learning. You've educated me tremendously on my show, and my mind's going a hundred miles an hour right now, thinking about wow, never thought of this. Interesting. The thing is, Darren, trust is an important part of this business as well, and when you build trust with your investors, that's so important. So you've got to be great person to explain to them how things go. But the other thing, what happens when they buy a house? So let's say five people invest in your house. Who owns that house? Would it just sit there? Or how's that work? Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to make sure that you have, you know, a legal agreement. You're going to get a lawyer involved. And you're going to own that house together. And you're going to make sure that you all understand the rules of how you get in, who has what responsibilities, and if you want to get out, how that exit plan would look. So you want to make sure there's a lawyer on your team that helps with all this documentation. And again, you've got to be very careful in raising money that you do things properly and compliantly. And every state and province is different. So you'd have to have a lawyer on your team. And again, you just have five people. Typically, they'd all be on title, and sometimes they're all on the mortgage. So every situation is a little bit different. But, you know, if you aggregate people and you put them together, you're all in one business. You're all partners, really. So you get everybody in the room and say, hey, this is the house we're buying. This is why. Here's the returns I think we'll get from it. And they're the silent partners with the money. And you just have a lawyer draw up the agreement.
Quite interesting. Okay, so there's a lot to this in teaching. It's not easy, like, okay, let's go buy a house next week. You have a lot to understand and all those different things. But, Darren, where's the best place we can find information on you? Purchase your book and learn more about you. Where can we go?
Well, artsofreasoncapital.com will give you the book for free, actually, and I want to do that because of your show, so thank you very much for that, and you can kind of follow us from there. And I will say, just on your last sentence or comment a minute ago, raising money is something you have to take very seriously, and it is 99% of it, it's on trust. People really don't know whether the house is a good deal or not. They really are trusting you. They've got to like you and trust you. If you ever take that for granted and screw people, you're never going to have any more money come your way. So it's very, very important that you continue to be trusted. And if you are, that's how most of the money is raised. It's not the deal. It's you as the person that they're investing with.
So the last question. So most people in real estate do it by getting investors unless they have tons of money.
Everybody runs out of money. Everybody. I mean, again, how much does it take to buy an average house in the United States? You need a down payment. Well, after 4 or 5, you're running out of money. So it's pretty hard to have enough money to keep buying property. So eventually you're going to need somebody else's money, in my opinion.
So your house is kind of like your client, and then also your clients are like your clients. So, which are your clients? It's, Darren, you fascinated me. I really did not know about the real estate game. Kudos to you and stuff and all the things. Do you have any social media places people can follow you? Do you have a Twitter or Facebook and stuff to check out more info on you?
You know, I hate to say this, but I'm old school. I don't even know how to spell Facebook. So I assume if you Google Darren Weeks, you could probably stumble across it. My team does all that stuff for me. But I apologize. I'm not too prepared for that. You could find it somewhere if you look hard enough. So that might be a test for your listeners to put a little elbow grease into it.
I'll find you. I'll find you, trust me. But and then we'll try to stay in touch, and best of luck with your ventures, and you educated me as well. I'm just continuing to grow some of the things I'm doing entrepreneur-wise, but I understand that once I make a certain amount of money, it's time to invest, and it's not the time to just write a check every month and say it's not going to do anything. That's just not feasible. It really isn't. Or if you have a nest egg or certain things, and you say, oh, yeah, it'll just stay wherever it stays. And that's not the right thing.
You've got to put effort into it. No, I agree with
all you.
Put effort into it. And thank you for the opportunity to speak today.
All right, take care, Darren. Safe travels. All right, take care.
Okay, thank
Thanks.
You. Bye-bye.
All right, that was, again, Author's Corner. Take care, guys. We're going to be live tonight at 11 p.m. Eastern. Good day, everyone.